Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and I am the host of this podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I am also a newly minted USA Today bestselling author of the novel Blank. I've created a whole community of book lovers around this podcast, a publishing company, reading retreats, a bookstore, and more. Learn more at ZibbyMedia.com or follow me on social at Zibby Owens or join the community at Zibby Readers. Tamron Hall is the author of Watch Where They Hide, a Jordan Manning novel. By the way, I had Tamron Hall, and we talk about it a little bit, to the January 20th New Year, New Chapter event we threw for all of our past book club picks, or my past club book club picks. Tamron Hall's last book was one of the Zibby's book club picks. And so it was great to listen to her talk about this one. And she is so nice that she shouted out Zibby's book club on her show. And she is having me as a guest on her show, which is really exciting. Okay, two-time Emmy Award-winning journalist and author Tamron Hall is executive producer and host of the nationally syndicated talk show Tamron Hall. As a veteran journalist, Hall leans into her 30-plus years in the field to ask the tough questions while having engaging, thoughtful conversations. Tamron Hall is currently the second-longest-running Disney-produced syndicated talk show and continues to be one of television's highest-rated daytime shows, consistently delivering standout moments that become central to the cultural conversation. Hall's extensive resume also includes hosting Deadline, Crime with Tamron Hall on Investigation Discovery, Today and Today's Take, and MSNBC's Live with Tamron Hall. She received the 2015 Edward R. Murrow Award for reporting Hard News and Network Television for her segment on domestic violence as part of today's Shine a Light series. An outspoken advocate for shedding light on domestic abuse, Hall has partnered with Safe Horizon to launch the Tamron Renate Fund in honor of her sister to help victims and families affected by domestic violence. Enjoy our conversation. I know I did. Welcome, Tamron. Thank you for coming back on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Watch Where They Hide, your latest in the Jordan Manning series, Chronicles? I don't know. What do you call it?
Oh, yes. I think it's a series. My goal is for it to be the series. We're two books in, and the goal is to be with 10. So we'll see
if
I make it.
That's a big goal. I love it. Aim high. Why not?
Thank you.
I read every word of this book. I stayed up until 1 in the morning the night I finished it. I could not put it down. It's so good. It's like interesting, and you have to think so much in a good way. And not like it's so confusing.
No, like the struggle, right? There's I've been there where I need to read that 5 more times.
So exactly. Like, let me go back. What was that? Yeah. Wait. Did I forget something, or I hadn't read it in a while? But anyway, why don't you talk about the plot? But I just wanted to say I really, really enjoyed it. And yeah. Can't wait for the next number 3.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. First of all, thank you so much. And thank you to all of your fans and supporters who showed up for our event. It was was it 30 below zero, but it warmed my heart to be in that audience. It was very cold that day, remember? So the plot, Jordan Manning is a journalist who has a background in forensic science, and she's pulled into a case of a missing mother of two who lives in Indiana. Jordan is based in Chicago, and we meet her in this book as her career is starting to pick up steam. She's been breaking news and really becoming the top reporter at her TV station. And now she's approached by someone. I don't want to tell you how they find her, but she's approached by someone who is in desperate need. And that really speaks to the heart of Jordan Manning. She is someone who loves her job, but more than that, she loves to see people treated fairly. She is front of mind of justice. And that causes her as a reporter to cross these lines. You know, the reporter is supposed to be neutral. The reporter is supposed to be the observer and not the participant. And in this book in particular, we see Jordan cross this line of being more than the reporter. She is in some ways a vigilante, all while, and this was important to me, all while exploring what's it like for a young woman in her 30s who loves her work, who is driven, but also is at a date where the guy is saying, hey, you work too much. You know, that constant battle of particularly women of wanting to or needing to be a wife, a mom, a colleague, a friend, while having our own goals and dreams. So she's got this goal and dream of being a reporter, but life is pulling her in so many directions.
Well, I actually found that really interesting between her and Nate, because does it mean that it's the right person if you have to like hide that you're working hard? I know she doesn't, I won't give anything away, but I don't know. That's like rang an alarm bell for me. Like when she has to listen to all his doctor stuff for 22 hours and feign interest.
But I mean, so many people have been there, right? And Jordan is inspired, of course, by my life as a reporter, but I also took pieces of other friends from different industries, by the way. Mm-hmm. And what is that experience? You know, here's Jordan covering the disappearance of a mom of two. Jordan also now being pulled into that angst of, am I supposed to have kids? When is the right time? While at the backdrop of all of what's happening in this case, she has a friend who's getting married. And yet again, she's the bridesmaid who doesn't have a date. So it is, I wanted her to be a 360 character, right? Yep. Well, I want you to see her humanity and her drive and why she's willing to compromise it all for this woman who's missing. But at the same time, she goes home and, you know, looking at the wedding invitation of a friend thinking, I got to help my best friend plan the wedding. And yet again, I'm just, you know, going to spend the whole evening being asked what's going on with your dating life.
True. But still, she didn't have to say like, what did you do today? I just went to a flea market. I'm like, you did not just go to a flea market. You did something amazing. You know, come on.
But it's like, and that's the irony of her is that she's this bold character who's willing to drive hours to get to know the last minutes of this missing woman. But she shrinks herself down in this desire to be wanted by this man in front of her, who, to your point, would likely well, hopefully, if he's the right one, be more interested in her authentic life of reporting and trying to get justice. But she's not convinced of that. And that's the part of the character I really wanted you to see. And I'm so happy you make that point. It is, you know, that where you're rooting for Jordan, but then you're also frustrated. How can you be so strong and independent and you're too afraid to tell this guy that you were at work and what you were doing?
Yes.
So that's the nuance of Jordan. And that's what I wanted to bring this time around.
Well, I totally got that. And unless Nate happened to have a thing for flea market, you know, aficionados, you know.
Well, I've been there. Listen, flea market, the flea market scene. So as I said, the case is inspired by two cases that I covered that I could not shake. One, when I was 9 months pregnant with my son. And I remember being, when I hosted the show Deadline Crime with Tamron Hall, I actually ended the show after this particular case. I was in the audio booth and I was recording the voiceover for this case. And the woman who had gone missing and was ultimately found murdered was pregnant. And I thought at the time, there are so many moms reading about, you know, baby Einstein or whatever. And I'm in an audio booth reading the unimaginable, but it, you know, it's crazy. And that was my life. And so for me, that was inspired. The case itself inspired, but the flea market truly, and this is the truth. My aunt, who's no longer with us, used to take me to this flea market on the side of the road, like in, I think it's called Lancaster, Texas. And I visually described this flea market that you see Jordan end up at. It was from my real
memory. It felt like something.
Where my aunt, and I'm telling you, from the glasses to the positioning, I've been to that little Texas flea market. I just moved it to Indiana this time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Even with how it smelled. I don't even know why I'm talking about the flea market so much, but I don't know. It was just an emblematic moment for her relationship. But anyway, moving on. I was glad, by the way, so Jordan gets herself into these crazy situations, right? Where, you know, she should be there like police with a warrant, but instead she's just like knocking on people's doors. And I found myself getting really worried because you get very attached to these characters. You
know? Yes.
So at one point, she emails her friend Joe or texts him and just like, she's like, oh, you know, nobody in the world even knows where I am, and sends him like a picture. And I was like, thank goodness, finally, you know, finally she does this.
But it's, you know, again, that's the life of a reporter. I can tell you, I guess it was in the late 90s, there was a series of crimes in this park. And myself and my camera guy went on a sting with the police department. They wouldn't let you do that now. They certainly wouldn't let me do it now. But back then, and I'm in camo. In the bushes with my camera guy, and the police have on bulletproof vests. And there's this moment truly where I am like, what? My mom, I'm like 22 years old. I don't think my mother would die. I'm hiding in the bushes of a sting in a park. I could have been killed and my parents would not have known where I was. Right. And I'm at work. And so with Jordan, to your point, I needed her to be aware of the danger, but still willing to go that far for Marla, the missing mom, or to find out what's going on with her. So there was that moment of, wait a minute, you would surely tell one person where you are. And we see that even now with technology, so many cases that I could bring up in real time where technology is the last footprint or the last handprint or the last anything of an individual, whether it's pinging, which I've had a lot of cases solved where the pinging of the phone or a last text message or a last photo. And that's why Jordan brings that into action.
Oh my gosh. Well, at least she reached out. I was worried.
You're such a concerned friend.
I am concerned about this character. I know.
Like, oh, she's a mess. She's a mess, but she's got a good heart. She's got a great heart.
Yes, she's great. And actually, one of the things I really like about Jordan is all the relationships she makes with people along the way, which end up becoming very useful to her. But just this notion that, like, you have to be nice to everybody. And, like, everybody, you never know where it's going. You shouldn't be nice for the sake of being nice because they might be useful. That's not what I'm trying to say. But just, like, her relationships with everyone from someone who works at the courthouse to somebody here and, like, all these people that dot her past that she's able to sort of leverage when she needs help because she's such a nice person.
Yeah. You know, and it was important for the reader to experience that. I wanted you, the reader, to see yourself as an ally and a friend, because as you continue to read the story, that's how it plays out, right? If you stop reading, Jordan stops on that page, right?
Right. So, yes.
And that's how I visualize it, in that if you keep reading, that keeps Jordan going and that keeps her to solve the case. But she needs these relationships. This would have been no fun to write if it's just Jordan Manning all by myself. You know what I mean? you need it. And she needs these people to work along with her, some more intimately than others. Mm-hmm. To get, and again, that's real reporting. I hearken back once again to my reporting days. You know, I was the late night reporter. It was like 11 p.m. until 7 a.m. I can't even remember. It was really overnight. Nothing good happens overnight. and knocking on the door, and like my camera guy, Chris Mathis, who actually texted me this morning saying congratulations on the book. He would sit in the car, and this is the truth. I'm going to go knock on the door, but you don't turn the car off because, you know, I don't know who's opening that door. And if we're both out of the car, we can't drive off. And I'm now knocking on the door of, you know, some alleged gang member who was involved in the shooting. And this is the last address. So we're trying to figure out who lives at this home. Knock, knock, knock. And I'm looking back at Chris like, keep the door open because I may have to run. I don't know who's coming to the door. And that happened to me a lot over the years of reporting. You know, even with the missing storyline with Marla, I got chills last night thinking about how many cases that I covered that were similar. I had two front of mind, but I started to go through just my memory bank and allowing myself to dig deeper into understanding why I wanted Jordan to cover this particular case. And the names just started to flood in. They just started. And that's why writing Jordan, it brought different challenges, you know, for sure. The biggest challenge is getting people to understand that Tamron Hall from the talk show actually wrote this book, right? I love my day job and I love that people know me from my day job, but that in my time away from the set, this story poured from my soul and this character and the friendships and the allies, the love story. I wanted your heart to race with this one. The first I wrote in Sag Harbor, we were there and it was the pandemic. And this book was written in the city, in Chelsea, New York, most of the time. And I feel, even when I reread the book, the heartbeat of it, right? It's just more pop, pop, pop. And I think that was the location change, which is a phenomenal part of this experience. So all of those who are interested in writing or starting out, I never knew that even where you write has an impact on what you write. And it did in this book. It's much more heart pounding and pop, 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 pop book.
So maybe for all 10 books in the series, you have to write them in different locations.
As long as it's not as cold as the day we hung out, let's have your book club in Hawaii and then I'll stay a little longer to write my next one.
I will plan them in warmer spots from now on. Yes. That would be fun.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, there's another, you know, sort of through line of the book, which is the tension between being Jordan being an out in the field investigative reporter versus the coveted anchor chair, which is totally different. And where does she want to end up? And where does everybody think she wants to end up? And what does she really want in her heart? And is it okay to not want what everybody wants and to admit that to yourself and all of that? And then I think of your career, like, are you happy with being, you're essentially in a chair, you know, versus out in the field, essentially, right, for a talk show.
No.
How do you feel about it?
And so the talk show is a hybrid of all of those things, right? Because we still, you know, do shows on the road. I'm still interactive with the audience. We get like 180 people a show in our audience. But to the point of that question, there were times where I was, you know, at the Today Show, for example, or even at MSNBC, and I felt inauthentic to myself in that I'm a journalist, I'm inside, but I want to be out with people. So at the Today Show, you know, the joy of my day, honestly, was when we would walk outside on the plaza to say hi. And I have some colleagues whom I won't name, they'd say, it's freezing, we have to go out there today. And I'm like, yes, I'm, you know, it was because it reminded me of the connection versus a connection to a camera. Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved about reporting, being able to get out of my car and talk to people and listen to them. I mean, just, you know, touching someone on the shoulder changes the trajectory of the interview. Just having that connection, or even standing outside a courtroom and the scrum of reporters, and we're all pushing, and you on TV, you see all those mics. Well, those mics are being held by people. And sometimes I was the smallest, and I just have my hand, just, you know, sticking out, like breathing into my, you know, cameraman's armpit, like, oh, you know, trying to get my mic up to the stand closest to the person who was being interviewed. So I, with this talk show, have the best of both worlds, where I'm able to sit down and intimately interview someone, but have 180 co-hosts, humans, living, breathing, empathetic creatures, and I can feel that energy. And we do 3 live shows a week and 2 tape shows a week. And in the live shows in particular, in real time, I've sometimes shifted my trajectory because I can feel the audience. I can feel that motion. So for me, it's the best of both worlds. But to the point of Jordan and her dilemma, I think it's a dilemma that so many reporters have. You the big chair, right? The big bucks, the big name, your name is on the billboard. They're not often, you know, reporters on the billboard. So all of the trappings of journalism that make it a little glamorous, that make it celebrity, it's right there in front of her. But she is not built that way. Mm-hmm. And she's following it, but very, very conflicted about this notion of being the celebrity anchor, even though her work has put her in the position to be that.
Hmm. And she also has a point of view about even like posing with her arms crossed. You hate that?
Yeah. Oh, very specific. Now that, you know me too well, ma'am. I mean, that was my friends all know this story and my team here. I had a very hard and fast rule about folding my arms because over the years, 30 years of being a journalist, and we do photo shoots and headshots, every female journalist was asked to fold their hands as if it's just this, suddenly I am tough. I don't know. It's just so, and I had a rule for a very long time that I would not be photographed folding my arms in one of these like stage things. And recently, like I guess about a year ago, I said, okay, let me lighten up. I don't want people to think, you know, because, you know, they have the magazines and whatnot have creative control. And they said, you know, can you fold your arms? And I said, okay, I don't normally do this, but I'll do it. But I hope you don't use this picture.
They use the picture.
I'll never fold my arms again.
Oh, no.
And another, I will never, ever. So anyone listening, if you see it, you better hold on to it as a collector's item because I can't do it. It just, but that speaks to, again, how we define authority, right? Particularly with women. And that's what we see in Jordan. We see it in her colleagues, how the authority of a woman is challenged in the newsroom. And I've always thought that was such fertile ground. You know, when I was a reporter or anchor and you're reporting on, I don't know, pay disparity in women, right? And suddenly you want to look in the camera and go, and it's happening right here now. Or, you know, this guy next to me is making way more money and I can't wear the same shirt and tie every day because if I do, you'll write in. So I make less than the guy next to me. And on top of that, I have to present in a different way, which costs money that the networks don't cover. Or, you know, we talk about the growing number of female CEOs, but you know, there was a time not very long ago, I think in the last 5 years, every news executive of a major network was a male. And then we are, you know, so all of these things happen in every industry, but people forget it happens in this industry that reports on others. And that's the irony there that we see.
Interesting. Especially given who is watching the news, right? Who watches, who are the main consumers of, okay.
Who consumes the most, who vote the most, who you know, keep the wheels on, the axis.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it would be funny to put like little captions. I mean, you'd probably get fired, but you know what I mean? Like if somebody were to put, you know, like all these things underneath, you know, like a International Women's Day takeover or something, you know.
Anyway. Listen, if imagine in all of our lives that that could happen, but especially women.
Yeah. Anyway. You do talk in the book too about the disparity in coverage and how there's like missing white woman syndrome and how that gets disproportional amounts of coverage in the news as well. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. You know, that is something that we talk about and we see in the first book where Jordan is in Watch Where They Hide, as we watch, she is following the disappearance of missing Black girls on the south side of Chicago and the conversation in the newsroom that happens, why the decision is made that one person gets to be the lead over the other. And when that book came out, this was exactly when the world was having this debate with Gabby Petito. And I was booked on a number of shows to talk about it. And I said, listen, Gabby Petito's family deserves absolutely to get justice. And like any parent, you want your child to be the lead. So it was unfair to them, in my point of view, to have them answer that question of why does she, it's my child. My child should be the lead. And everyone should feel that way. Yeah. The challenge is the answer and why and the reality that, you know, the evening news is 30 minutes. So if we're going to put everyone in that 30 minutes who's missing or the 3:10 or you don't have any other news. And so then how does one pick the lead? And I think it's an unanswerable question. I think it is one that is about race. I think it's about gender. I think it's about socioeconomics. I think, you know, JonBenet Ramsey, for example, hit a lot of, they were wealthy. They lived in this exclusive neighborhood. She was beautiful. She was blonde. It was also the weirdness, if you will, as of this pageant world. Mm-hmm. So it checked a lot of boxes of why a news executive would say, oh, this is good. On the flip side, a woman, you know, who might be a sex worker. Oh, well, of course that happened to her. So why, you know what I mean? These tropes and these awful things that we think of those who are the least among us and why they don't be. So there's no one answer. It's not just a straight line to race. It is not just a straight line to gender. It's many, many things. But most of all, it's ratings and what they believe will get the ratings from the masses.
It's like the morning show in real life.
It is the morning show. And that too was inspired by a real place that I worked, not named Oz. So there you have it.
By the way, another thing I will never, you know, relax about again is this online gaming world that you highlight a little bit in the book too, of how people can do all sorts of bad things. I mean, I guess you know this, you know, intellectually, but seeing it play out here is another thing.
And that again is why the book, I hope when people read the book that they see what sets Jordan apart and myself in bringing this novel to life. That was inspired by a real life case. I am not in the gaming world. It had no interest. My brother had an Atari. That was my my link to it. But I covered a story of a man so obsessed with gaming that after his wife went missing for many years and he finally confessed, they got him to confess because they gave him an Xbox. He had befriended a person online and with that person conspired to, and ultimately he did, murder his wife. And so this sinister nature of what happens in the gaming world, we talk much more about it than ever, but I was oblivious. You know, I'm just looking for the parental control on Paw Patrol. That's my extent. You know, I'm like, okay, Paw Patrol, time limit. You know, I'm just at that point with a four-year-old where I'm just limiting the amount of time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this individual who murdered his wife years, could not find her remains. It was just, I met her family and went out to, they had a family lakeside home and I spent the day with them and just beautiful family, supportive. And they were just left reeling by her disappearance. And for him to confess after negotiating an Xbox.
Unreal.
It's unreal. It's unreal. And that's the depths of, I think, you know, people ask about thriller writing or, you know, crime stories and what is the fascination, and that I could have jumped into a lot of other different types of books that might have been easier for people to accept me as the writer behind it. But this true crime world and having a sister who was the victim of a crime, it's fascinating. And from Jordan, you, the reader, you get to see that, you know, this is not a cutout person on a TV screen. This is a person who goes home and thinks about this case. This is a person who is so outraged by the wrong that's happened or potentially with Marla that she wants to give the family peace. You know, this is not just reporting for Jordan. This is about helping a family, helping children who now don't know where their mother is, get that answer. And that's what's so gut-wrenching about, you know, some of the decisions that she makes. You understand and you wonder if you would go that far to help a family. And I think most people would. Jordan just happens to go even further.
Yes, she does. Well, I know we're almost at the end, but would you mind just sharing what happened with your sister? Because I know we talked about it at the book club and yeah, it was so moving and all of that, but
you know, much like in this story, my sister was a woman who was a survivor of domestic violence in her life. And one night my family got a phone call that she'd been found in her home, outside of her home in her swimming pool. And her death was declared an unsolved case of murder. And we were told by police at the time they had a suspect. They were all but certain, but they didn't feel they could get a conviction. I waited for many, many years to tell my sister's story, but I was at an event supporting survivors of domestic violence and shared my sister's story and started not on a journey to find out who did it, because we've always known. And there's a different level of frustration with criminal justice and understanding that and protection of victims that may be in another book at another time. But what it did, our loss and our grief led to our family, her son Leroy, and our family working with survivors of domestic violence to help not only those who are victims, but family members who don't know quite what to say and what to do. And that was our challenge. With my sister, we, like so many others, thought, you know, that tough love, you can do it, you can leave, would be enough. And it's not. And finding the right words to comfort, the right words to support, the right tools is my mission now. We loved my sister and she knew she was loved and supported. She also knew we were frustrated, and that not with her, but that frustration of wanting someone you love, that you want to save them. Mm-hmm. And so through my Safe Horizon and Day One and other great organizations, I've been able to share a little of her story with the goal of helping family members support people they love who are experiencing domestic violence.
Wow. Well, I'm again so sorry. And it's amazing that you're using your story to help other people, although not a surprise knowing. Oh my gosh. Watch Where They Hide. Everyone must read this book. Congratulations. Thank you. Do you have any parting advice for aspiring authors?
You know, I think the biggest thing is take the leap. Much like when you have a child, if you wait around, it's the perfect time, the perfect minute, the perfect second, you probably won't find it unless you're a very lucky human on this planet. I think for so many of us, particularly women, I'm now 53. I wrote my first book when I was 50. We allow the fear of rejection or the need for perfection to hold us in place. And neither serves our soul. Perfection doesn't serve you well, and fear certainly does not. Go for it.
Love it. Tamron, thank you so much. Thanks for coming
Thank on. You. Oh, thank you for the support. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you love it, please leave a review and follow us on social at Zibby Owens and at Zibby Readers.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.